12:09 on a Tuesday afternoon. Paul Grafe with you on Ditto Atara. We're up to about 28 degrees. Fairly cloudy out there. That humidity has it feeling up in the mid to high 30s already. Could hit a high of 39 with the Humidex today. Yesterday, I think we hit 41, but it's a bit breezy out there. So we are continuing today by introducing people to the candidates for the July 3rd Mohawk Council of Gatnawaga elections. And, we had three guests yesterday. We have offered every single candidate. So five candidates for Grand Chief and 20 candidates for Council Chief. They're equal amount of time on the air. So far, I have received one no. I'm not going to say who at this point because they still have the option of changing their mind, and two have not yet responded, but everyone else has said yes. One of those who said yes is a newcomer to politics, Wahio Dalil, who is in studio with us this afternoon. Welcome, Wahio, and I want to give you an opportunity first to introduce yourself to the community for those who don't know you.
Okay, Sego. Greetings. Thank you, Paul. My name is Yohahio Wahio Dalil. My mom is Connie Lahash, and my father is Andrew Dalil Jr. My wife, Carla Sky, along with eight children I have, five boys, two girls, and one in spirit. And I want to thank you, Paul, and I want to thank everybody for listening, and I'm very honored to be here. And take on this this new role. Try to anyway.
What is your reason for running for elected official in the Mohawk Council of Gatnawaga?
The reason, many reasons, Paul. Many reasons. But the one thing that I would like to focus on today would be rehabilitation. And looking at ways on how to properly, structurally build a framework to build us back to a better tomorrow. And starting from today is definitely the right day and the right time to do it.
What do you mean, rehabilitation? I mean, that's a very big word, and it can encompass so many different things.
Yes, so I believe that it should be our priority to build back better together. And looking at strategic framework to put in place that will promote that ability, and specifically infrastructure such as a birthing center, clinical detoxification centers, looking at ways of providing more resources to our institutions. But at the same time, I think the real question is whether or not there is a proper cultural competence framework that is put in place. And that's one of the things that I would like to look at with our community as a whole, and really ask ourselves, is our system really presenting something that is welcoming? And if not, then we need to look inside first and start looking at ways of providing something that would be more presentable and more welcoming. And as far as I was told, the CDP process, 25 people, there is not quorum.
So CDMP, the community decision-making process,
Decision-making process, yes.
So when you say welcoming, what is not welcoming to you at this point? You know, what is it that you see that you have issues with?
I feel that there's a little bit of there's some inequalities that are existing, and I think that a lot of our system and certain individuals there will look at our community and look at the disadvantages on each side, and I continuously see our people continuously fighting amongst each other. And
so this is a within, without.
No, within. And we're talking about intergovernment relations amongst our own people now. And coming to the realization that if we continue to fight, we're going to continue to keep us where we are today. And it's about looking at solutions on how to get everybody back to that collective circle. And all the decision-making and the intelligence is all in that circle. So we got to make sure that we listen more.
Sounds very traditional to me. Mm-hmm. What is your background?
I have many backgrounds. I've studied many different institutions as well as our traditional governance. I have many other, a lot of different elders that I consulted with. And it comes down to basically how you really present yourself. And there was a law that was given to us from the beginning, and the Gaswanta Raturo, and this is very important to solidify our traditional interpretation. And this is what I mean about cultural competence. Now, is our system properly representing our traditional ideology, or are we being consumed over that systemic, conventional system? And it's very, it's all designed. It's a designed institution. And we need to come to the realization that if we do not put some type of cultural competence framework in there, we're going to have to decolonize our own system one day. And this is the way the structure is designed.
Well, you know, that's a lot of the talk that, you know, we've been hearing more recently, is that's a colonial government in place.
Yes.
That the MCK is set up that way.
Of course.
And a lot of people traditionally in the community have talked for years about how they just don't follow the MCK, mm-hmm. and don't vote. Mm-hmm. How do you bridge that gap?
How do you bridge it? We need to figure out, it comes from the internal here on the system side. There is a natural compliance that exists in our community, and it's there for a specific reason. We have our traditional governance, and we have our elected system. In the end, whatever decision that is made at that table, it is accountable to the people of Gunawaget, either which way. We still all have to walk down our community and drive down our highway, Old Malone Highway, and we're always connected and accountable to our people. It's just sometimes I feel the system is not listening to the people. And that's where we start becoming authoritarian. And it comes down to fear. If you don't understand something, the first thing you do is put your guard up, mm-hmm. in defense. So we look at why. And these are the reasons why. I want to look at why. We look at the systemic design, the racism that exists, the sectorial segregation that exists. We are definitely surrounded. The pressure politically and the engagement by the federal government and provincial government consistently since they stepped foot on our lands, consistently. What does that do to our social and emotional and spiritual as a person, as a government, as a people, to continuously be put in an institutionalized setting that promotes division? It's not going to happen anymore.
Mm-hmm. How do you change it?
How do we change
that's,
it? We do.
That's an extremely tall task, because the way MCK is set up colonially, if you prefer, mm-hmm. is set up so that, you know, the money comes in from outside governments, they generate money through other means, mm-hmm. and then it's distributed in terms of services for the community. So you can't cancel services such as policing and fire and ambulance and hospital and all of those things. And you even talk about maybe setting up a treatment center here as well and busing and all of these things. So how do you make the two work together?
See, this is where it's important for our community to put the right people in place that can handle the analytics, the communication, but most of all, keep the table engaged. And this comes down to the responsibility of our head grand chief. And the grand chief's position is supposed to look for the value within every single person sitting at that table. And acknowledging it and giving the portfolios to the people that, and it's catered and it's strategically put in their place for the inner values that they represent as an individual. Every single person in our community has value, even if they're opposition or someone that is in favor of something. But it's our ability to accept somebody's constructive criticism. And this is very important. And I would never, I don't agree with censorship, and I don't agree with people not listening to people, because people voice their reasons, and it's based off of their emotional environment where they're living. And everybody, I feel, is voicing because of their concern for their future mm-hmm. generations. And this is something that was put in place strategically here as a division mechanism by the federal and provincial governments. And understanding the engagement socially, physically, spiritually within our own domain here is important. Mm-hmm. And knowing why we continue to engage, and now we're engaging one another. And the federal provincial governments, they sit there and they while we do this, they continuously politically advance on our identity and our jurisdictions. Quebec 101, we're talking about the distinct society clause now. They have the ability to amend the constitution, the Canadian constitution, and the non-withstanding clause. Opt out. Now, you look at the checkmate that we have continuously in their courts, and it's not our court, it's theirs, and it's designed to keep us. Mm-hmm. And the Indian Act is definitely an enfranchising mechanism that was put in place. So our ability to maintain our identity comes from both. Our ability to stall the enfranchisement process, but at the same time securing our traditional interpretation. And now that's the question: are we supposed to combine that, or are we supposed to keep it separate?
Well, that's going to be up to you if you get elected.
Well,
and I guess again the question is how.
Actually, it's not up to me. It would be up to our community, Paul.
Okay.
And the people and this is why it's the most important thing is to listen to our people. So let's talk about framework. Let's talk about institutions and expanding resources. The most important thing for our community right now is security, securing our territory, securing our. So I like to talk about one elder that I grew up with, and he was a close elder of mine. My grandfather, Leo Lahash, he was in the Navy, and he's an action war hero. And I spent many, many, many years growing up with him, and he taught me many things. And the one thing, the most important thing that he taught me about was securing our waters. Securing the waters. So we look at conservation. So let's start building up that service. Mm-hmm. And let's get our boats on the water, and let's start looking at where our lines are.
You mean like a Navy?
No, just conservation.
Okay.
Conservation.
Well, is this not done through KEPO right now? Mm-hmm. The Environment Protection Office and all of their studies and the way they're setting things up over on the beach and making the beach. And
of course.
I mean, many people in the community, and I think the majority of the community, would say too late. The 1950s was the time to do this, so that the Seaway never got built on this side.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But mm-hmm. that's a whole other issue. You can't put the genie back in the bottle with that. You can't just fill the Seaway again and put the land back. It's not possible. But that's why people are saying not one more inch for the Mercier Bridge.
That's right.
Well, we've got 2 minutes left.
Right.
Time goes quickly. So is there something else that you wanted to bring up quickly?
What else? Adjudication. Law. We have a tobacco law that's been on ice for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
While the federal and provincial government engaged us criminally, and they continue to do that. We have a piece of legislation that was given, and the people and the community voted on it, and it passed. And it's been shelved for six years on ice while we're federally and provincially engaged, criminalized. And we talk about the stigmatism that's attached to our identity. And this was for a specific reason, guys. And it brings in a lot, it promotes a lot of different things, having that. So we need to really look at that specific, like in detail, prioritize it. And this is why I'm here. I just want to ask some questions on, and I don't know who to ask, but I am asking, why has our legislation been on ice for 6 years?
Well, you might be able to start that July 5th.
Well, there we go.
If elected. First time running for an elected official for a seat at the Mohawk Council of Gotemwagi table.
Yeah.
Wahio Dalil. Any last words?
security, the importance of it. If we're going to have our, you know, securing, maintaining, managing, treating our security, expanding our resources, building, we need to get out on the Clay Mountains, or we need to get some more resources put out there, fire, policing, and it's all about response time. And this is critical.
Mm-hmm.
Now, data, we need to study our data, and we need to interconnect our institutions so that we can study our data and create. And there we go. Sorry.
No, not sorry at all. Well, Dalil Nyawa, for being with us today. Best of luck to you on July 3rd, running for a first time for a seat at the table on the Mohawk Council of Gotnawage. Coming up next, running for a seat to repeat as an MCK elected official is Mike Dalil on Dede Watara.